Good evening. Can you hear me, please?
Yes.
Okay. Thank God we are here once again. I labor to put a lot on the slide so that people who cannot understand my English or the way I speak will be able to get the words from the slide. So bear with me when it happens that you have much words on the slide. That's the main reason. We thank God. We are continuing with our study, even as we try to unveil the theme for the church, adventure. And as we know, we look at adventure as something unusual or daring experience, which probably you have to take some sort of risk-taking. So that's where we are now, and I still want to pray. Father, I thank you that once again we are here. Open the eyes of our brain to reveal wondrous things out of your law. Help us that we will not be hearers only, but the doers according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So in, in Ephesians chapter 2, the verse 10, Bible says, we are God's workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus for good works, which he has ordained beforehand, that we may walk in him. John 15, 16, Jesus said, ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you to bear fruit, that your fruit may abide. The passage we read in Judges 3, the verse 12 to 30, if you have never heard it before, even if you read it, you ask, what is there to take? This is violent. It's something you don't want to hear of. Is this also in the scripture? Killing somebody and then naming somebody that is fat in our generation and then saying somebody is left-handed. So please bear with me as I unpack the whole situation in a set so that you can understand what I have made out of it. So all of us here have a calling from God. And there's no way anybody who is in Christ can escape that God has called him. And all through scripture, God uses different people at different times to fulfill different circumstances or purposes that suits him. And I just have a subtitle of this sermon today that answering God's call upon your life in your time. When I say your time, I mean in your generation, in our circumstance. So you have to know that you have a call upon your life. I must know that, and then we together will try to fulfill it in our generation. So in doing that, we've chosen Ehud, which we want to learn, or what, like a character which God used or what happened in his time. And in the time past, God used different people, like earlier said. Samson, God raised him up and invested a lot of power, strength in him. Yet, he failed miserably. He was chosen to deliver Israel, but he did not. Then Othniel, like we heard last week, the younger brother of Caleb, he was chosen, but he fulfilled the call upon his life successfully. So you and I must also be chosen today. What are we doing with our calling? Are we going to disappoint God like Samson did? Or we are going to move on and try to identify our calling, develop it, and then fulfill why God has called us for? And looking at Ehud, I would like you to consider certain things first. First of all souls belong to God. Ezekiel chapter 18, the verse 4 says, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son are mine, says the Lord. Another thing I want you to consider is that God is not partial. He's not a partial God. And for which reason, Romans 2:11 made a clear point that God is not a partial to choose somebody over somebody, or he likes somebody and dislikes somebody. He created all, but he has a reason. Another thing I want you to note is that God does not take bribe. In our society today, in our generation today, we know what bribe is. People accept bribe. But the God of the universe, the creator, does not accept bribe. And I want you to also to know that even though God does not take bribe in Deuteronomy 10:7, one thing God does is that he gives people in exchange for his own people. That's a divine exchange. So because he is the creator, I will read that. That's Isaiah 43, the verse 3 and 4. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. This is God. So you wonder, why does God do that? And no one can question that, because he is the creator of the universe. So note all these 4 points, that in spite that God is not partial, he doesn't take bribe, yet still, he doesn't support one and hate the other, but he still does certain things which no one can question. That is that he uses someone to exchange the other. You and I have a divine exchange. The sin we committed, we were supposed to pay for. But God used his son Jesus Christ to exchange that. Have you thought of that? So also, in this circumstance, we're going to unpack the same situation. And the story is that, or the background of this story is that, the Israelites have been caught in a repeated cycle of rebellious acts against God. Today they are fine. The next time, they will rebel against God. And then when they cry, God will rescue them. Then another time, then they sin again. So it's just going in a circle repeatedly. And this circumstance that we've read from Judges 3, the verse 12 to 30, was one of such. And after doing that, these people, they drifted away from God, for which reason they became slaves. Before they became slaves, their enemies have power over them. Because we all know that sin takes God's glory away, or sin becomes a wedge between man and God, for which reason, when sin is in our life, we cannot enjoy God's glory. So for these people, the Israelites, the sin have put them in a slavery corner, and they cannot attain God's perfection or love, and thereby paying tribute to their enemy. Anytime an enemy triumphs over you, the first thing to look for is if your status is right with God. Are you sinning? Are you right? Because sin brings curses as well. Certain activities we do bring curse. And when curse is in our life, there is no way we can enjoy God's blessings. Isaiah 59, the verse 1 and 2 says, the hand of the Lord is not shortened, neither his ear heavy. But it is when we call and he doesn't answer, it is this iniquity that has separated God from us. So these people, their sins have separated God from them, and then they end up becoming slaves, paying tribute to their enemies. Instead of their enemies serving them, they have become the servants to the enemy. But with all this, they suffered a lot of things. And in this suffering, they suffered oppression, and periodically, their king or their leader will have to take the tribute and go and pay to the head of their enemy, named Eglon. He is the king of Edom. A Moabite, sorry. And in this circumstance, we see that after they sinned, one thing they did, which is good, is that they remember that their status is not good. So they have to turn back to God. Then they cry to God. The Bible says God answered them. One thing about God is that when you come back as the prodigal son, when you return to him and cry, knowing that you have defaulted, and plead genuinely, he is able to forgive. He is a covenant-keeping God. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the verse 14, he said, if my people who are called by my name shall repent and cry unto me, I will hear them and I will heal their land. These are the promises from the creator of the universe, my God and your God. So whenever we find ourselves in a situation which we know that it is because of something we have done, any wrong, and therefore God cannot reach us or we can't reach God, the best thing is to remember that we need to turn to God. These people did, and God heard them. And in such circumstance, God raised for them Ehud, a left-handed man from the tribe of Benjamin. And Benjamin happened to be the last tribe of Israel, the youngest son of Jacob. So if you look, actually, even though we pamper the younger children, but most often when people want to give tax or work, they try to give it to the elderly one because they can trust that one that he will be able to execute. But God, being God, decided to choose from that tribe of Benjamin. That's the youngest son, and Ehud was chosen. Now, for you to understand this further, I would like you to forget about the circumstances surrounding what Ehud did. For me, it looked violent. For me, it looked something I heard of in our generation. And then secretly, a deceit, telling the king, I have a message from God from you. For us to understand what God wants us to learn from this passage, let's put that aside for a moment. But let's take on board that, number one, Ehud was chosen by an impartial God, God who is not partial. Number two, he was from a young tribe, or the last tribe, who God himself has called. Number three, Ehud was bold and courageous. But one thing also is important for us to note here is that he was provoked by the worshiping of idols. And then those stone images provoked him to take a stand. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how you look like. But in this our generation, there are lots of things that are going contrary to the will of and purpose of God. Has any of such thing provoked you as a child of God? Has any of such thing pushed you to be angry, to have a holy anger for God? We see Ehud, after the paying the tribute, he was going. But when he reached, the Bible says, when he reached where the stone images are, he decided to go back. I think seeing the stone images gave him more anger, or the let me put it this way, the rate of anger has probably increased, for which he knew that action now or never. We are friends, we are families, we have co-workers, we are people who we move in day in, day out. We know the kind of situation they are in, the lifestyle they live. They pay the wrong bill to the wrong people, because the Israelites, because of sin, they were paying tribute to the king Eglon, which is their enemy. People in our midst, people in our neighborhood, people we know, they still spend their money on cigarettes, buying sickness. They spend their money on alcohol, buying diseases. They do all kinds of things, living reckless life, careless life, living immoral life, some worshiping idols, stones, and some, they never enter any chapel or temple. We know them. What that means is that in a way, they are also paying to a god or someone who is their enemy. The sickness is their enemy. The cigarette is their enemy. They want to stop, they can't stop. The cocaine is their enemy. The weed, the smoke, and everything is their enemy because that is not good for their body. They are also created in the image and likeness of an impartial God, which you and I are aware of. When was the last time seeing someone in such an act or even prostitution and something within you stirs holy anger so that you can speak to that person about the love of God? But when Ehud heeded to God's call, he was faithful and served God faithfully. So the land had peace for 80 good years. It means he responded to God's call. This is why I earlier asked you to forget about the violent situation. He was acting on God's call, God's mandate, so that he will bring the assignment to a fulfillment, so that he will deliver the Israelites from that sort of difficult situation. Two-thirds of the world population now do not know the Lord. Only one-third, including you and I, knows the Lord. Now, where would those people go? The fact that they don't know the Lord, it means they are investing or paying the wrong tribute. We've been called to respond to that. They are worshiping images, stone images, like the Israelites started doing. But when Ehud understood what God meant, he took a plan. He took a decision. What plan will you take tonight? What decision shall we take tonight? It's a risk situation. It is an adventure, something unusual, daring. You may not have done it before. Whilst I was preparing this, something dropped into my spirit that in this country, we are not allowed to talk about our faith at workplaces or witness to people. But I've had people, if you permit me, I've heard people talk about foolish things at work or something which is should be secret, issue like sex. So it means in our generation, more of evil things is accepted, but how to make God love his people is being rejected. So it means sin is ruling over good at this time. This is our generation. In the generation of Ehud, he had a holy anger. I believe after tonight, something should stir within you and I so that we can do exploits for the Lord. Something we haven't done before. We're not going to kill anyone like Ehud did, but I'll tell you what we should do. At that time, that was what God assigned him to do. Otherwise, we would have read that God's anger came upon Ehud. The fact that there was nothing like that, it means what he did was accepted by God, and the people lived peacefully for 80 good years without paying the wrong tribute anymore. Beloved in Christ, there are men of God that God used in the past. One is Moses. We knew Moses complained to God that he was a Samaritan. He couldn't talk well. So there was a disability there. Moses once killed. So if at this time you are thinking that, well, I'm a Christian, but I can't talk well, I feel shy, I'm not able to mount a stage or talk to people, I want to challenge you that Moses would have been shy than you. He has a disability. He killed and he escaped. You didn't kill, but God used him. Another person is Paul. Paul said he was the least apostle. And we all knew how he persecuted the church of God. But when he had a genuine repentance, God used him. Genuine one. God used him. Another is Jeremiah. He also complained that I'm just a young boy. How young are you? How old are you? I urge you this tonight that we should put our age aside and see what God wants to do. Another person is Stephen in Acts chapter 6. You are just a new convert in the Lord. But he was chosen to serve table in the church. But he became a very mighty preacher. The first martyr to die for the faith. How long are you in Christ? If that's your complaint, that, well, you're just giving your life to Christ, you don't be baptized, that excuse, I would like you to consider Stephen. He was a newborn babe in the Lord. But if you read from Acts chapter 6 to chapter 8, you see how he was quoting the scripture left and right, defending the gospel. So few men of God there that God used. So I want to say that God is no respecter of person. It doesn't matter who you are, your skill, your education. So some of us think, oh, we've been unfortunate. Where we were brought up, where we came from, probably the color of your skin, your hairdo, your height, your skills, your talent, your ability, your career. Tonight, I want us all to have a repentant heart, because that's not what God is looking at. Because he is no respecter of persons. Bible says, God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He used the weak things of this world to confound the strong. All he wants is when you are genuinely repented. He's not concerned about you, whatever you think about. Whether disability or not, whether strong or weak. And if we understand that, then we can move on to say, how then can we imitate Ehud? Because he is a figure we are looking at. And I want to tell you that if we are to imitate Ehud, he made a knife for himself and hid it. So we will also need to use the sword of the Spirit. We need to use the armor of God. Ephesians 6:11 says that put on the full armor of God. We need a spiritual warfare. There are many of us who don't know what spiritual warfare is. Every Christian must know what spiritual warfare is. If we don't know, we must find out. We are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, dominions. So every believer must know that we are at war with an unseen enemy. That person who troubles you at work, that person who troubles you in the market, in the bus, every morning or whatever, that's not your enemy. Your enemy, my enemy, is Satan. He hides behind things. He hides behind sicknesses to influence them against us. He hides behind people and use people who are not in Christ to cause us to be angry or to do unexpected pains. We are really at war, and this war never ends until Jesus comes or we are gone. So for us to be able to imitate Ehud, we need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to fight the spiritual warfare. And it is either now or never. Because he was provoked. I remember from the scripture that David was provoked. You know what David said? When he saw the Philistine, the Goliath, shouting, screaming, and doing all kinds of things against the Israelites, he was more angry. And he referred to Goliath that uncircumcised Philistine, despising the armies of God. Satan is not qualified, in one sense, to be despising or monopolizing people's life, because he didn't create any. If something doesn't belong to you and you are taking it without permission, you are a thief, you are a criminal. Satan is a thief, is a criminal. But God wants to use you and me to stop his hand, his activities. Someone is not coming to Christ because Satan has blindfolded his mind. So you say something about Christ, he doesn't take it. Beloved in Christ, we have been called. There's no one sitting here or listening to the sound of my voice who has given his life to Christ genuinely who claim that for me, I don't know. I don't have a call. You may not know, but it is our duty to find out. Why we are on earth, why God sent us to earth. It's not just about working, eating, and then sleeping, going every day, or come to church, warm the seat, and go. We've all been called. No one is supposed to sit on the fence. Those out there are not coming to church probably because you and I have no witness to them. Someone's salvation is in our mouth. Satan has hold onto them, cheated them, deceiving them. But if you and I yield to God, the Lord will use us to bring them back to his vineyard. They are the lost sheep of the God Almighty. Jesus is the shepherd. He wants to send us. Are we willing? Ehud understood the call. But he knew that there are challenges, obstacles. But I believe he prayed and God gave him wisdom as how to execute the plan. Psalm 16, the verse 7, said, a man has plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. So when Ehud planned, he knew that those who accompany him to Eglon's room should not be there. So he went away with them. On the way, he excused them, returned to the base. When the king Eglon's servant or stewards were around, God gave him wisdom how to excuse them as well, without them knowing the plan. There are ways, wisdom God can give us, we will be able to witness to people in our workplaces without being sacked. There are ways and wisdom God can give us by using or reaching out to people who want to go out. We've all been called to witness according to Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. But even if you are not going yet, you have the task to pray for them. Samuel says, God forbid that I shall sin by not praying for them. So any believer who only prays for himself and does not intercede for others, I want to tell you tonight, you are sinning. It's a sin. So when Ehud went back, it was between him and the king now. And the plot was executed. You may meet some people, you want to witness to them, but their friend will not be willing and would like to move them away. Ask God for wisdom. We need the boldness. Ehud was brave, courageous, bold. We need to pray, ask God for boldness as well. Confidence to witness to people. He should give us the words and grant us utterance how to go about it, so that the people will not think that we are intruding their privacy. Because soon and very soon, Jesus will come. In Revelation chapter 22, which is the last chapter, three times Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. So he's coming soon. And if you read Matthew 24, many signs of his coming have shown. But are we going to imitate Ehud? Are we going to do and understand that we've been called? Do we now understand that Ehud did not just go and kill like the terrorists are doing? Ehud did not go and kill like people who have no aim and are killing left and right. He was chosen by an impartial God. And the reason God did that is that God is always willing to exchange people for his own people. He has created men. The 7.4 billion people on earth now are all created by God. Satan did not create even one. And the opportunity is that it is your season and my season. It is our time now. Even though I said Jesus is coming soon, if he tarries few years again, and probably you and I are gone, what would the next generation be? If we don't witness to those coming, I can promise you that the world will be in chaos. It happened in Judges 2:10 when they did not pass the baton. So we've been called. Ehud has shown us the way how we should use our spiritual weapon, our skills, the talents, gifts that God has endowed us with. You may not know unless you tap it. Many countries now who have mineral resources, time passed, they didn't know, so they didn't enjoy that money. But the day they knew and tapped it, they were able to enjoy the money. You and I probably are not enjoying God's glory and blessings now because we are seated on the gifts and the talents. But the gifts and talents, Bible said, they are not irrecoverable. They are not something we should just put in our pocket or sit on them. God wants us to use it. God is not waiting for us that in heaven we'll bring the gifts back to him that, oh God, this is what you've given me. I couldn't use all, and this is the rest. That's not what he's looking for. When we remember the parable of the talent, he wants us to trade with it. Ehud has done his part. What shall we do? Beloved, tonight, this is the way I understand adventure. This is the way I think Ehud has taught us to do it and move with it so that there will be peace on this earth as they enjoy for 80 years. Shall we bow down for a short prayer, please? Father, once again, we bless you for this moment. Even as we come before you, there have been times we were not able to identify our calling, even our gifts. We were not able to develop them and even put them into practice. Lord, forgive us. Tonight, we ask for a new heart. Pour your spirit upon us. Renew our strength and our thoughts. Give us new understanding that we may move on and do what you want us to do. We pray for confidence. We pray for boldness. We pray for words and wisdom. Above all, we ask for your favor so that we'll be able to do it in your way, not our way. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.